إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we were talking about the issue of the challenges that are facing us as Muslims today and what we should do. And as I said yesterday, we need to respond, not react. What I'm going to try and do is to, I'm writing an article also on this in detail, but I want to try and encapsulate what I want to say in as short a time as possible, because I don't think the beauty about solutions is that the simpler it is, the easier it is to implement. So one can create very complex and detailed solutions, but then implementation is a problem. So we need to have a solution which is short and sweet, easy to implement. But before we go to the solution, we have to define the problem. And as they say, the solution to the problem lies within the problem itself. So in problem solving, we talk about this and we say that defining the problem is half the solution or more than half the solution. If you define the problem correctly, then you can find a solution, and the solution is in the problem itself, in the problem definition. So what is our problem? Our meaning as Muslims. Our problem today, in one word, is a problem of image. Partly because of our own actions and partly because of a concerted effort in that direction, we have been projected into the space which I call the space of the other. The space of the other is essential for anyone pushing a particular ideology, if they are pushing it in a particular way. And that's exactly what the Western military industrial complex has been doing for the last 2000 years, going from the time of the Roman Empire onwards till today. It is the same ideology which is working, which is the ideology of the military industrial complex, global domination by military force. Same thing continues. Now in our times, this kind of an orientation of global domination needs an enemy. It needs an other. That enemy for most of my childhood and youth was the Soviet Union. It was Russians, it was the communists. So it was Soviet Union, to some extent China. China at that time was not too much in the picture, it was mostly Soviet Union. But after the collapse of the Soviet Union, the perestroika and the glasnost of President Gorbachev, that space became vacant, the space of the other. Now if you are running an economy which is based on war, you need someone to fight, otherwise your economy collapses. If you are selling weapons, there has to be someone to use those weapons, some place to use the weapons legitimately. That's why you need war. There will never be peace as long as there are people manufacturing weapons, as simple as that. But this the world doesn't want to see anyway, eventually they will see it. So therefore, they needed another. Now that other, Muslims and Islam got projected into that space. And as I said, partly it's our own fault, partly it is the, it's a well thought out strategy of the military industrial complex and the people who run that. So as a consequence of that, we got projected into that. So we are now the other. We are the enemy, we are the other. And there are a number of reasons why Islam and Muslims as the other is a much better enemy to have than Soviet Union. And all of that detail I don't want to go into now. That's what I'm writing in my article, so read it. But the point is that this is where we are. So in one word, the problem of Islam and Muslims is the problem of image. When people say that the West is against Islam and so on, all of this is rubbish. The West doesn't care a hoot about Islam. You could be cannibals, you could be worshipping dogs, as far as they are concerned, makes no difference to them. They want someone in the space of other, and that is where you are. And whoever and whatever you are doing makes no difference as long as you are defined as the other. Right? Those of you who are interested, read a book called World Without Islam. It's written by a guy who was the deputy head of the CIA, and it's a wonderful book to understand global geopolitics and how this other is so important. So we got space. Now, therefore, what must we do? We need to get out of this space. As long as we are in the space of the other, we will continue to face what we are facing, and it will get worse. This is only the beginning. This will get worse. Now, the question is, how do you change the narrative? How do you get out of that space? Because if you look at it, the world today is run by, literally by a handful of people who are not, again, this is another big problem. The problem is that most of us don't read. Most of us insist on remaining ignorant all our lives, so nobody can help you. But if you read, it's funny in a nasty sort of way. People send an article, they say, this article is long. And how long is it? 2 pages. So as today we have reduced ourselves to a level of illiteracy which is so stupid that to read a 2-page article is a job. Then how are you going to, then you are defining yourself as someone who is garbage. Because if you are not going to read, if you have no knowledge, if you insist on remaining ignorant, then you are garbage. Garbage has to be incinerated. And that's what's happening to us. So we need to open our eyes and read. So therefore, the point I'm making is that if we look at the way the world is run, it's not America or this or that or Israel or whoever. This is to classify this way also shows that you have no understanding of geopolitics. The world is not run by countries. The world is run by individuals. And these individuals are the most multinational of creatures. Nationalities, national boundaries, all of this makes no difference to them. They don't apply for visas to travel, they don't have to worry about all that. I mean, it's the normal stuff that we have. They don't go through security checks in airports. They don't even use your airports in the first place. So the point is that that is the group you are talking, which runs. That is the group which has, I'm talking about a worldly context, which has unlimited resources. That is a group for which no law applies. That is a group which cannot be identified. It is there, but we don't, you can't put a finger on it. That's a group which no police can arrest and no court can prosecute. So that is the group you're talking. Now that group is rewriting the narrative. How are you and I going to solve it? And this is where we have to understand the actual power of the collective, because this cannot be done individually. There's no way that you can do this or I can do this individually. But the power of the collective. Today when we talk about nations, we talk about one, you say Turkey, Erdogan. India, Modi. That's a nonsensical definition. 1 billion people of this country are defined by one man. That's nonsense. That's complete nonsense. That is a total disempowering of ourselves if we are doing that. Right. This country is 1 billion people, it's not one Modi. The whole of America is 300,000 people, 300 million people, it's not one Donald Trump. So the whole point is that we have to understand and harness the power of the collective. So what is the power of the collective as far as Muslims are concerned? We're talking about give or take between 1 to 1.5 billion people in the world. What does that mean? It means that 1 out of 5 people in the world is a Muslim. So if you divide the world into 5 parts, one part is Muslim. Which means how many other parts? 4 parts. Right? Now, my definition is we need to change our image. Means what? We need to change how these 4 people look at us. Now bring that global problem, or global definition of 1/5 of the world population to an individual level, what are we talking about? You are talking about 4 people. That's it. If you can influence 4 non-Muslims to see you positively, your job is over. Now, how difficult is that? A lot of us, alhamdulillah, are there already. I can tell you, I can give you a written guarantee that there are more than 4 non-Muslims who think that I am a good guy. I mean, this much I can give it to you in writing. Maybe there are 5. Right? And I think this applies to most of us. So end of the day, and this is not, I'm not oversimplifying, this is not a simplistic thing. If somebody wants to say it is simplistic, then you are interested in complicating your life, that's your problem. This is the actual reality. This is localizing a problem. Like Mother Teresa said, if you can't feed 100 people, feed one. Simple as that. That is the reality of life. If you cannot feed 100 people, feed one. You cannot eradicate poverty from the world, help one poor person. You cannot eradicate illiteracy from the world, send one child to school. How many of us cannot send one other than our own? How many of us are in a situation where you can say, no, impossible, I do not have the money, I cannot send even one child to school? How many of us? There are some people, but for most of us, definitely every single person who is listening to this on a podcast, that means you already have a smartphone, which means that, you know, you have the money, you can educate one additional child. So that means how many children? So the solution to global problems lies in localizing the problem. Global perspective, local solution. This is business, this is politics, this is everything. So end of the day, what are we saying? We are saying globally we've got a problem. That problem is in one word, which is called image. This problem has to be localized, the solution has to be localized. And what is that solution? Again, image. And that image, I'm not talking about some fancy PR nonsense. I'm not talking about pretending to be something. I'm not talking about play acting. I'm talking about genuine, sincere effort to influence 4 people who are not Muslim positively towards Muslims and Islam. Which means who? You. Forget Islam. Forget Muslims. Who is Muslims and Islam? You. Me. I am Islam and Muslims to the person who is sitting or standing in front of me. That's it, period. He's not interested in the Quran. He's not interested in all Islamic theology. He's not interested in the glorious history of the Muslims. He's not interested in what happened in Andalus. He's not interested in who invented the astrolabe. He's interested in his interaction with you or me. That is it. Somebody sent me a video the other day. I think 2 or 3 days back on WhatsApp, this Hindu guy in UP, he took a video of a Muslim taxi driver. And what did the taxi driver do? This man needed, his friend was with him, he wanted his friend to be dropped to some place which was 1 or 2 kilometers away from his house. He came down from his house, there was a taxi standing there. So he told the taxi driver, can you please take my friend to this place? The taxi driver said, I am waiting for my other customer who has gone up to, he owes me some money, so I am waiting for that. This man said, look, this guy is in a hurry, can you please help him? So the taxi driver said to him, here is my car key, you take him and drop him. I have to wait for this man, you take my car. Now this man is shocked. He says to him, you are giving me your car? He said, what does your car cost? He said, 9 lakhs. You are giving me a 9 lakh car to drop, supposing I run away? The taxi driver says, you won't run away. He said, why? He said, no, I look at your face. You look like a decent person. Now this man is so impressed with this taxi driver that he says, please come home, come up to my house. He takes him to his house. He makes a WhatsApp, Facebook video about this taxi driver, and the taxi driver is a Muslim guy. This man making the video is a Hindu guy. And the man says, he has won my heart. He has, ye to mera dil jeet liya. Isne to mera dil jeet liya. He said, he has won my heart. Now imagine, this one taxi driver, just by, he didn't talk to him about Islam, he did not present Islam, he did not give da'wah, he didn't say Rasulullah, he didn't say Allah, he did nothing. He was just being a decent human being. Here was a man in need, this man was helping him. That's it, period. And that impressed this man so much that I'm sure that there is one person now who thinks positively about Islam and Muslims, not because he studied Islam, but because he found one decent human being who was a Muslim. That is it. This global problem can be solved very, very simply and very easily if we can convince ourselves and convince our friends and relatives and our children and so on and so forth to say, go out in the world and impress 4 people. That's it. Don't go to the fifth person, not required. Fifth person doesn't exist. You are the fifth person. There are four people. There are four people in this world who need to be impressed by you. That you are a great person, that you are a wonderful human being, that you are a great friend, you are a person who will help them if they are in need. That's it, period. If we can do that, believe me, we would have projected ourselves out of this other. And all of these fancy guys who are running this world will have to sit back and think again and say, what do we do now? That is where we need to be. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to apply this. I know the first question you will get, the first pushback you will get is from people saying, itta simple hai tha kya? Don't even respond to them. Do not even reply to them. That's a waste of time. Don't go to them. Because no one other than a Muslim will tell you that. That also I will tell you. Only the Muslim. That Muslim in any case is not your target. So why do you bother with him? Forget him. Go to the one who is not a Muslim and you do your work. Itta simple rahta kya? Itta simple hi chahe. It is so simple only. If we can do this, inshallah al-musta'an, and you will find. I mean, I don't have time to explain all of this, but there's a famous, in statistics, there is a case of what we call the lily pads. How exponential change happens. The thing is that if lily pads on your lilies in a pond, if they are multiplying equally every night, so 100% increase every day, which means that on the first day there is one lily pad, on the second day how many? Two. So one and two is one corner somewhere, the whole pond is free of lily pads. So this one and two and so on, now two becomes four, four becomes eight, still eight lily pads, you can't even see them. But what happens on the day when 50% of the pond is covered with lily pads? What will you do? What will you see next morning? The entire pond is covered. Yes. Instantly, because 50% doubled. Whole pond is gone. That is how exponential change happens. We start with 1 to 4, 1 to 4, you will not see much change. Then suddenly one day you find that the whole atmosphere has completely changed. And that is what we are looking at, inshallah. And this, believe me, this doesn't take time. This does not take a long time. This is a short time strategy. It's highly effective, provided each one of us decides to go and do something about it. So don't get into arguments. Don't talk to anybody. Don't discuss it. Just go do it. That's all there is to it. Inshallah al-Musta'an, we ask Allah for His help. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change our future and our destiny and to enable us to do that, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change destinies unless we do some work. And this is the work we need to do. And what's the work? Four people. That's it. Four non-Muslim people who must think that you are the best thing that happened on the face of the earth for them. That's it. Inshallah al-Musta'an. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.